In the period since 1971, they wrote, child and adolescent psychiatry developed completely along the theoretical and methodological lines developed by its Nazi-era founders. The influx of Nazi-trained psychiatrists after World War II, particularly in the military and intelligence fields, has produced a blossoming of psychological disorders. The American Psychiatric Association, in its 1952 Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders, DSM, defined only 112 mental disorders. By the publication of DSM-IV in 1994, the number had grown to 374. Today, though psychiatry may still be suspect among the public, it has won over both government and the media. The profession and its treatments inundate talk shows, magazines, and the front pages of our newspapers, wrote Bruce Weissman, the U.S. National President of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights and former chairman of the History Department at John F. Kennedy University. In the 1970s, when the drug companies tried to find substitutes for LSD because of its serious side effects, they developed the antidepressant Prozac, fluoxetine, followed by Zoloft, sertraline, Effexor, venlafaxine, and Paxil, prooxetine. Dr. Helmut Remschmidt, who directed the Society for Child and Adolescent Psychiatry until 1984, was a leader in research into hyperactivity in children. He studied under Dr. Hermann Stutter, who was associated with Nazi psychiatrists involved in the German euthanasia program and had received his doctorate from Robert Sommer, director of the Deutscher Verband für Psychische Hygiene, or the German Association for Mental Hygiene. Dr. Remschmidt, long after the war, still pointed to a genetic answer to hyperactivity and was a leading proponent of the use of drugs such as Ritalin. It is by no means shocking for Remschmidt to be a prominent advocate of horrible things, commented Raeder, Kubelis, and Burwell. After all, he is a disciple and protege of Nazis. What is equally frightening and obvious is that the racist and elitist theories of the original child psychiatrists, as documented in 1940 at the First Congress, have not only survived, but flourished. It has been a natural passage of poison from teacher to student, from the Nazis to subsequent generations of child and adolescent psychiatrists. The efforts to spot and screen, that is, to distinguish between the valuable and less valuable human beings, are more than dubious. They are indefensible.